going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Stations. The man that has a nickname always allowed to say with no shame. Saturday, March 6, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. I got some company coming through today as well. My guy, Rich Hot Takes Letty, coming through on the StreamYard. We got some NBA All-Star Break conversations to get into, and I'm looking forward to doing it. Went back to work this week. Happy to see all the new gear, waiting around, getting everything all set up, which is fun. But obviously the most annoying part when I'm waiting for the weather to be warmer, get back outside, see more people back at the club. But good to be back, still covering sports after work, and gives me more to talk about when I get to come back. Off today, got a Saturday special, got UConn on at noon, UNC Duke tonight at 6, and a full slate of college hoops as well, with an NBA All-Star game and festivities, all of them tomorrow, March 7th. A lot of NFL off-season activity topics to discuss, and some not-so-good stories in the college rankings as well. Looking forward to trying to cover all that. Apologize for the podcast potentially being a little bit longer when I go away, but I've gotten to a point where, hey, you can split it up. You're either going to listen or you're not. And appreciate all the people that do and follow along and show love to the podcast. Means so much to me. Looking forward to getting into it with Rich here shortly right now. It's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. As always, got to plug the podcast quickly. Appreciate all the love and support. You can follow along on my Instagram or Twitter page where I got my All-Star Break NBA Power Rankings up and posted at Seggy Station. Also got a live version of the podcast up on my Twitch stream where you can follow along there as well. It's _Seggy_G. And got the podcast out on Podbean, Spotify, and a few other platforms that I've mentioned before. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Glad to be back. Looking forward to touching up in the sports world here with Rich here in a moment. Should be here momentarily, hopefully. Thought I was going to have Dukes, but had some things come up. Glad he's working on getting some applications done for grad school and following UConn. Definitely more than Rich has. Hopefully Rich is following UConn here a little more. Because Selection Sunday is a week from tomorrow. College hoops really popping off right now. And obviously a March Madness tournament in which what we didn't have last year, leading up to now a year in which the sports world really shut down, coming up on a few days away from that, the anniversary on that. It's really putting a lot of things in perspective when I saw the E60 on Rudy Gobert and obviously the shutdown of the Thunder Jazz game, which if you're a sports fan, you'll remember that for the rest of your life. Pretty incredible stuff now moving up on a year. And a lot of people, including Texas, saying, hey, everything's good, 100% open, and we're good to go. So depends on what side of the line you're on. I think it's interesting to see. I obviously presume things are better, but heard a couple stories just this week at work, and this stuff is tragic, man. I mean, you're talking nearly 500,000 people that have died from this virus, and if it doesn't affect you, then well, then everything's cool. But if you hear a story that one of the people you know, even if you're not totally close to them and it affects them, I mean, that should matter too. I mean, I feel like at this point, you must know somebody that this has affected. And for you to be out here acting ignorant to the situation, mainly a lot of this stuff I'm seeing from Texas, which by the way, I got family out in Texas. And just to see how the governor, Greg Abbott, has really handled everything out there and how he conducts himself on not only interviews and stuff, but social media, and it's just super questionable. Then you got Baker Mayfield seeing UFOs. You got an All-Star break in the NBA, and for NBA fans, obviously no games last night for the first day of the break, which is just absolutely tragic and tough, but we'll be back sooner than later. All-Star game tomorrow, and obviously, like I mentioned, full slate of college hoops, NFL offseason activities. You got hockey, you got spring training, baseball, you got sports really popping at a time when a year ago, just a few days away, sports were pretty much shut down and we didn't know when they were going to be back. It's crazy to see how far we've come. It's crazy to see some of the stories not only you see in sports, but also in the other parts of the conversation around the virus. Rich.
Yo, what's good, Sag?
What's up, dude? Good to see you, brother.
How we doing? How's back to work life?
It's good. It's nice to have something to do. I really hate the cold. So I like, for me, this is like the worst part, like this part of the season and the end of the season, because it's just cold and shit. Like, I don't know. It's just not my style. But it's good to see the gear and get ready for another season, which kind of I was talking about. Hopefully is going to be presumably at least better than last, particularly in the sports world as well, when it's just crazy. I was watching, you know, the E60 platform is on Saturday mornings. I think it's 9 now, and I'm watching Jeremy Shaft. He was doing his thing, and one of the headlines was, you know, it's the 1-year anniversary of Rudy Gobert and all that, and basically that shut down sports, man. Like the next day, MLB, soccer, I mean, you thought everything was shut down. That was a crazy time for like a sports fan. Like, I'll never forget that. Like, I'll literally never forget that. Even if I wasn't potting, even if I wasn't following sports as hardcore as I am, like, I will never forget. Like, I'm literally about to watch that game and I'm thinking like, what's going on? And they're like showing it in the E60 and it like gives you those goosebumps where you're seeing like the Kobe Bryant anniversary and things like that. The things that sports really impact. So no, I'm doing good. I do like the fact that when I can't do it as much potting, so much more to talk about, so much more comes up, and obviously there's a lot to get to in the NBA, particularly the fact that you got obviously the All-Star game tomorrow and all the festivities in one day, and then you have the draft, which we're gonna have to touch on as well. But I just need to touch on this, and I want to get into a power rankings real quick before we do anything else. I'll start a timer. I hope you got your list. I sent you a text this morning. I did just want to say the last two nights of NBA before the shutdown were incredible. Like, I wasn't able to cover it and do a pod because of work, but you had Joel Embiid, which, by the way, I think he's leading the MVP conversation. He went for 40-19, beating the Jazz. You know, the officials are up in the air for throwing Donovan Mitchell out during that game, but regardless, the Sixers win the game. You got the Suns 2 seed in the West, winners of 15-3 in their last 18. And obviously there's lots of good games. Lillard had 44 points to beat the Kings just the night before they shut it down. So I thought the last couple games before the break was good. I think it's cool to kind of go and rank the teams' power rankings right now. All games played up to the All-Star break. This would be my list, Rich. I got the Jazz number 1, 27-9. They not only have the best record, but they're doing it making the most threes, which, by the way, the NBA is all about making threes, being able to do that nowadays. They're doing that at a really high clip. I'd have the Sixers number 2, 24-12. I do think what Joel Embiid doing is incredible. I think what Doc Rivers is doing out there as the head coach is absolutely great, reviving Tobias Harris. Some of these guys, them potentially talking of Kyle Lowry coming in there, and I saw that he sold his Toronto home, so maybe he's potentially going to get moved. Not sure if it's going to be the Sixers, but if he gets moved to the Sixers, regardless of what the package is, I do think that team is the best team in the East. I'd have the Suns then in 3. Mentioned they're 15-3 in their last 18, number 2 seed in the West. I do think what Chris Paul's doing, every team he goes to, I went and have the stats. I'm going to leave the phone where it's at. But his winning percentage on the team he goes to goes up everywhere. You've seen it last year with the Thunder. You've seen it when he was with the Rockets. And now you're seeing it where he's back with a new up-and-coming franchise in the Suns. I do think they're the third best team right now at All-Star break. I'd have the Lakers 4, 24-13. LeBron James, I think, still second in the MVP conversations. What he's doing at his age is absolutely incredible. And I do think without Anthony Davis, without Dennis Schroeder for a couple weeks, for them to still be third in the Western Conference is a pretty good feat. I'd have the Nets 5, 24-13, winners of 10-11 into the All-Star break. I think the MVP talks on Harden are crazy, and we're going to get into that at some point as well. I'd have the Blazers 7, 21-14. Don't even let me get into how nasty Damian Lillard is in the clutch time. And what he's doing right now without those guys, we've covered it plenty of times, is incredible. I'd have them 7. Bucks 8, 22-14. Reason why I got them so low, Rich, what I tell you going into the season, Bucks were going to lose a lot more games than a lot of people projected. That's ending up to be true. just in terms of me and you going into it too, them having pretty much the best record we saw in the NBA the past two seasons. Bucks at 8, Nugs at 9. I think Jokic would be third in my vote for MVP right now at the All-Star break. 21-15. And hear me out on this. Let's see how much more time I have. 1:46, then you'll get a full 5 to go through your list. I got the Knicks at 10. Not even because you're a Knicks fan. 19-18. And hear me out. You could potentially have the C's there on a 4-game win streak at 10. Kemba looking a lot better. Jeremy Grant and Vooch potentially in trade talks. Marcus Smart back sooner rather than later. But the Celtics, throughout that entire run, not better than the Knicks, in my opinion. What Julius Randle is doing right now, and I saw a stat, he's first in all these statistics heading into an All-Star break for the Knicks for the first time Knicks have ever had that happen. Dude's incredible. And for the Knicks to have a 19-18 record, to be in playoff contention heading into the All-Star break, heading into what we thought of the Knicks before this season even started, not me, but you, a Knicks fan, and a lot of Knicks Nation, I do think the Knicks need to get some credit here where they're at. Tom Thibodeau, Derrick Rose coming there, what they're doing with RJ Barrett shooting a lot better. I think the Knicks do deserve credit to be mentioned in my top 10, and I do have them 10 above the Celtics, which are probably the team that I would have there if we're being real serious. But I do think the Knicks, if they can keep it going, could potentially stay in that discussion. 25 seconds till the bell. Forget it. I'm resetting it. What do you think of my list? Let me hear yours.
I like it. Only one team I had have a big disagreement with, really. And, I mean, it's just the classic team, classic guy we'll always have disagreements with. I actually thought you were being a little higher on him recently, but I'm not surprised about that. I'll actually start from the bottom because there's not as much for me to talk about there because we actually had it really similar. I'd have the Knicks at 11. I had the Celtics at 10. I hear you on everything. My default is usually just going to be the team on the longer winning streak, the team that's been hotter recently.
I knew you were going to say that.
And in the power rankings.
I'm doing the power rankings for the entire run at now the All-Star break. My power rankings is different than this fucking bullshit weekly shit.
But the other big thing about power rankings, at least – I guess you could all do them differently. There's no set way. But for me, I'm considering who the team is a little bit too and how scary the team is. And I always look at the Celtics. I think any teams will want to play the Knicks over the Celtics in the playoffs.
I'll give you that.
Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, especially if they bring in another guy. So I think it's close. I had the Celtics at 10, and the next three I actually had all the same as you. Nuggets 9, Bucks 8, Blazers 7. Agree with all those. All either exactly where I had last time we did this a week ago or about one spot off. This is where it gets a little more interesting. 6, I had the Lakers, had them 5 last week, 4 the week before that. I mean, they're just going to fall a little bit. I still think if Anthony Davis is healthy, they're probably the favorites to win the title this year. But I don't know if Anthony Davis is going to be healthy. Like, we went over what the injury is, why it's a little scary. Like, I don't know. It's going to be tough to see if he's going to be healthy. If he's healthy, that changes things. Right now, he's not. And there are other teams out there, like even the Nets. I'll give the Nets more of the benefit of the doubt over the Lakers, too, because the Nets are better off. I mean, it might sound crazy. The Nets are better off if Durant's missing time with Kyrie and James Harden than the Lakers are with LeBron and no one else there if AD's missing time. Like, LeBron's the greatest player in the world, but he can't do it without Anthony Davis. So I got the Lakers down at 6 right now. They've had some tough losses. Even in the games they've won, it's by no means looked like impressive Laker wins. Their defense is still pretty good, but the offense is really struggling without Anthony Davis. 5, I have the Suns creeping into the top 5 there. They've been really hot recently. Last week, I had the Lakers in that 5 spot, so I got the Suns creeping up there. I think you touched on most of it. Suns on a 4-game win streak. I think that's tied for the longest win streak in the league with, like, the Celtics and Nuggets. Suns right in that 5 spot. Number 4, I got the Clippers, and this 4-1, especially 1-3 is, I think you could really shuffle around anyway. I don't have a huge disagreement with your way. You had the Nets a little lower than I would, but I had the Clippers down at 4 because they've been losing a few games, but Paul George missed their last game. Kawhi missed the one before that. I think, like the Lakers, they're going to be one of those teams that slips in the power rankings because they're not here for the regular season. They're here for the postseason. Like, obviously need to get their wins, need to get the seeding high, but I don't know. Like, they aren't teams. The Lakers and Clippers probably aren't going to be teams that rank like 1 and 2 in the power rankings most of the year with the injuries and resting guys. 3, I actually had the Jazz, and this actually feels a little wrong to me with how high they've been all year. They lost to the 76ers, so for me that pushed the 76ers over them, and I guess I'll just get to all 3 of my top teams right now. The Nets have just been absolutely on fire. The only team they've lost to out of, I think, like their last 10 games was the Clippers in a really good game. It's a team very well equipped to handle them without Kevin Durant playing. And actually, oh no, Kyrie Irving did play that game. They've been winning games without Kyrie Irving. I have the Nets at the one spot right now, the Sixers at the two spot. And this is a little bit, again, I could see any team being in the one spot right now. The reason I'm siding with the Nets is, again, their only loss in 10 games is to the Clippers, a top title contending team. And they still don't have Kevin Durant, who we're expecting to come back healthy. I think where you could poke a hole in my argument is I kind of bashed the Lakers and knocked them down for not having Anthony Davis. And I raised the Nets up for not having Kevin Durant. But the difference is, the Nets are playing really well without Kevin Durant, and he's expected to come back. The Lakers are not playing really well without Anthony Davis. So I got the Nets as the number one team solely off of how good they're looking right now and how it can only look better when they integrate Durant in there. But I wouldn't argue for having the 76ers or Jazz ahead of the Nets. But I went Nets 1, 76ers 2, Jazz 3, Clippers 4, Suns 5.
35 seconds remaining on your timer. I took 10 more seconds. Just real quick to clean up this stuff for you. Julius Randle is the first player in New York Knicks history with 800 points, 400 rebounds, and 200 assists at the All-Star break. Only players in NBA history averaging 25 points per game at age 20, LeBron, Durant, Luka, Williamson. Zion's been playing a lot better, creeping up a little bit in the standings, but definitely not cracking a top 10. At 36 years old, LeBron is the oldest player to lead his team in points, rebounds, and assists at the All-Star break. I think you're knocking LeBron a little bit too hard. And the Nets at one, you know, we'll get into that.
I'm not touching LeBron. I still got him top 2-3 in the MVP race, but the Lakers themselves just haven't looked good. And I know if Anthony Davis isn't at least 90% of Anthony Davis, they're not winning a ring this year.
Well, let's touch on that real quick, because I pretty much gave you my MVP list in my discussion there during my rankings. I do got Joel Embiid number one, 40 points, 19 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 14 to 27, a step back 3 against the Jazz in which they won. And you can talk about a lot of different stuff with the refs. I don't want to hear it. That's basketball. I know an NBA ref. I think they do an incredible job. Yeah, they might blow a couple calls. That happens in sports. Whatever. Donovan Mitchell, don't be acting like a moron then. Joel Embiid, pretty much going like this, getting him teed up. I mean, dude went off, had a step back. I think he's the MVP clear-cut right now if you had to vote at the All-Star break. I would have LeBron James second. I just mentioned the stat on it. I'm just saying, this dude is underappreciated, and without Joel Embiid doing what he's doing right now, even with Joker, who I have third, I do think LeBron James is putting up a season, 26-8-8. I mean, they may be losing games, but they won a couple to get still third in the West at the All-Star break, even without Anthony Davis for I don't know how many games it is exactly, but that's pretty damn good for me with what LeBron James is doing, and I don't want to hear all the shit that I hear about it, particularly from Skip Bayless and LeBron haters. It's fucking bullshit. LeBron James is definitely, you're disrespecting LeBron James and a lot of other people in the NBA, in my opinion, if you have James Harden ahead of LeBron James and some of these guys. And we'll get into it in a second.
But
I'd have Jokic then third. I think Luka's bringing it up there a little bit. I don't think I could have him fourth yet. I'd still have Lillard. And I guess then I would put Luka 5, James Harden 6. Because I think it's disrespectful, honestly. And this is my take on it. Like, I think what James Harden is doing is incredible. And over his last, 10, 12, 13 games, I mean, he's leading the league in assists. Here's my thing on it, though, Rich. And I told Chew on it last week, and I did save it so I could tell you. Let me find it here real quick. Dude, James Harden, what year did he actually win the MVP? Was it 2017 season, I believe? Oh, no, that was Russell Westbrook. Yeah, that was Russell Westbrook.
17 was Russ, 18 was Harden. Yeah, I think 18. I can look it up. I believe it was 2018.
Where, dude, I have this somewhere that I need to share with you, and I'm pissed I can't find it now. Hopefully I didn't delete it. Anyways, here's my point. I don't even need it. His numbers that he's putting up right now are not better than some of his seasons that he didn't win MVP. And I'd argue, like I told you, that he's not even the best player on his team. And I'd also argue that those first 9 games with Houston, those first 10 games with Brooklyn, also matter towards MVP characteristics. And to put him above Luka, who has been playing all year, started out a little poor, has the Mavericks back up in the playoffs, 8th seed, at the All-Star break, being as low as they were, I do think that matters. Joker, some of these guys, LeBron James, it's to me, that's crazy, bro. And I just don't agree with it, even with how good he's playing right now.
I mean, I don't know. That wasn't really a basketball argument, so I don't know what to say to that. But my response would be, I'll do my rankings and I'll respond to that. Number one, I got Embiid. Number two, I got Jokic. He's been absolutely incredible. And all this is so close. It's not disrespectful to anyone to have them lower on the list. I'd say the top four are a little closer. I got Embiid, Jokic, Lillard, LeBron, and then James Harden at the five. I'd say James Harden is a little further back than those top four guys, but I think those top four guys are all really close. My reason for having Lillard over LeBron right now, only 2 games back in the tough Western Conference right now, LeBron's missing Anthony Davis, and they've been sliding after they've had him most of the year. The Blazers have been missing CJ McCollum and Nurkic all year, and are only 2 games back at the Lakers, who've been healthy for the large majority of the year and have lost Anthony Davis for a little bit. Damian Lillard's been on an incredible run, close in every single game. I know LeBron's the better player. I don't think it's disrespectful at all to have him 4th, even 5th in the MVP ladder right now, because it's all so close. It's halfway through the season. What you do in the second half of the season is going to matter way more than the first half. So what we're talking about right now at the end of the day, if Harden comes out and crushes it in the second half, like over anyone else, he's going to be higher in the MVP, because people are just going to value what you do with the clutch end of the season towards the end. So none of this is set in stone. I think there's anyone really of these 5 has the ability to win it. James Harden would be the hardest one to win it. The only way James Harden wins it, in my opinion, is if Kyrie keeps missing back-to-backs and Kevin Durant literally doesn't play until the playoffs and James Harden keeps them as a 1-2 seed playing how he is. He's going to be in that top 2-3 for the MVP just off carrying that team that is just garbage around him and Kyrie. But I agree with you. He's in the 5 right now, LeBron 4, Lillard 3, Jokic 2, and Embiid 1. And the reason I had Jokic 2 is they're on a 4-game win streak. They've been looking incredible right now. Jokic's almost averaging a triple-double, incredible shooting percentages. I think it's a genuine argument who's the best big guy, Jokic or Embiid right now. I'd maybe side with Embiid just off defense, but both of them are having an incredible season. Pretty crazy. Everyone talking about like the death of the big man a few years back, and now, in my opinion, the 2 leading candidates for the MVP.
Yeah, fair. That's fair. I did find this thing that I have for you. So when you're saying this is not really a basketball argument, here you go.
No, I'm saying to clarify that, I'm saying what's not really a basketball argument is being like, oh, like there's other years where James Harden had better numbers. Or like, oh, it's disrespectful to LeBron. Like, no, it's not. We're just comparing his year right now to other guys' year right now. It doesn't matter what they all did in past years, what their name is, what they've won in past years. It's just this year right now.
But yeah, but dude, it does. And when you compare what he's doing right now, which is great, 25-2, 25.2, 7.7, 11 assists a game, leading the NBA is what Harden's averaging right now. In 2019-20, 34.3, 6.6, 7.5, no MVP. Like, bro, he's putting up.
They're different seasons. I don't know what you're talking about right now. Like, he didn't win MVP in 2017 because Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double and it had never been done. A lot of people said Harden should have won it because his team had a much better record and he had very similar numbers. He just didn't average a triple-double. There's an argument a lot of people made that, like, if Russell Westbrook had averaged 9.9 assists instead of like the 10.2, that he wouldn't have gotten to the MVP and people just
bro,
like that.
I'm not arguing that you can compare the seasons in terms of the MVP. I'm saying that when he puts up better numbers in a season in which he didn't win MVP, and then you go look at what he's doing right now compared to these other guys, bro, compare the numbers.
If you're comparing him to the 2017 season, then you're comparing him to 2017 Russell Westbrook, who isn't a player right now. Like, he's winning. We're talking MVP amongst the players who and how they're playing right now. It doesn't matter if he had better numbers in 2017. Someone else also had better numbers in 2017. Like, that's not – we're talking about 2021. It literally doesn't matter if they won an MVP in the past or what their numbers – like, you could win – LeBron has had more impressive
– I've heard you tell me that there's a thing as LeBron fatigue. So if you're telling me that there's not a thing where, like, how many MVPs you won or, like, what you've done in years past, I do think that's not a thing. Like – bro, I'm telling you right now.
I'm not going to change my rankings on it, but like that. All right, All I'm saying is LeBron has had years where he's averaged way higher numbers than this year's. So then the counter argument to that would be like, well, LeBron can't win MVP. He doesn't have as good as numbers as he did in the past. Like, no, that's not how it works. We're comparing his numbers right now to other people's numbers right now.
But that's my whole point.
To the ghost of himself.
That's my whole point, though. He hasn't won MVPs, LeBron, in which he had better numbers than
if he's in the comp. LeBron James deserved more MVPs. I agree with you. There are years he didn't get it where he deserved the MVP. But, like, that's not – I just don't think that, like, comes into play really this year for the argument of, like, James Harden, LeBron, anyone else. Like, I personally think James Harden deserved the 2017 MVP because his team was much better than Russell Westbrook's. But, like, I don't think that comes into play. Like, oh, his numbers were better in 2018, 2017. Like, yeah, he was the number one guy on a team that just ran ISO ball for him.
I mean, all right, let's get into this on James Harden because I think this is interesting as well. Real quick reset on this timer, and then we'll get into the All-Star stuff. I saw they were going to retire his jersey potentially, number 13. They had a tribute video. One of the games right before it ended was him back in Houston. He had a triple-double, 29-something and something, 10 and 11. It was a good game. Not all packed stadium. You got like 17 stadiums, arenas allowing fans right now. I saw the Thunder not allowing fans for the rest of the season. But
I didn't see that.
Every other team starting to filter in fans. Pretty interesting. Not a good look for my fan base there. But he did have some boos. He had some cheers, whatever. I'm sure you might have caught the game. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing, Rich. When I saw this, I was honestly like, what the, I was a little like, all right, like what's good here? Like, whose jerseys have they retired? The Houston Rockets. So I did a little research and then they were showing some of the jerseys during that night as well. Pretty good list of guys. I don't have it off the top, but obviously Hakeem, Yao Ming. Here's the thing. You're retiring James Harden's jersey and not Tracy McGrady has been retired by the Houston Rockets. That's crazy to me. That's absolutely crazy to me. And here's the thing.
You might want to look up some of Tracy McGrady's Houston time before you do this.
Here's the thing.
I love Tracy McGrady, but that's...
Here's the thing. The way that ended with the Houston Rockets, and we talked plenty of James Harden. Like, so I guess the reason why I don't have a girlfriend is because when you have a breakup or a bad breakup, you should just go and hang a fucking picture up on the ceiling right behind your bed. Like, bro, what is the deal with this? Like, when, if ever, do you see this happen in the NBA where something ends that ugly? Like, has Kevin Garnett's jersey been retired with the Timberwolves? And I saw a report that he's done now potentially buying the Timberwolves. Has that happened?
No, it's different. They're different organizations. The Timberwolves have gotten a bunch of flack for that. That's what the Rockets don't want to be, an organization that disrespects your franchise player. That's the problem. The Timberwolves have been dragged for that.
My argument is I think other dudes in the NBA should have their jerseys retired for their teams way quicker than James Harden. Maybe he's getting it retired for the multiple championships he's won for them. Oh, wait. That's not a thing.
Okay. So Tracy McGrady, he never left the first round of the playoffs in Houston, made the playoffs four times, never left the first round, averaged 22 points a game. A lot of guys average 22 points a game. I think Eric Gordon had a 21 point per game season with the Rockets.
So now you're comparing players from a decade before where I have also a stat where you got 20 point per game scorers back then. It's like 20 dudes. This now in today's NBA, just 10 years later, it's like 50 dudes. Like, bro, you can't do that.
We won't compare MVP.
Don't
even do the numbers.
Don't be doing that.
Stay away from the numbers. Six seasons out of made the playoffs four times, got out of the first round zero times. Do you want to do the James Harden one? Just ignoring the numbers, even though we know the numbers.
Yeah, go ahead. Actually, do it because
led the league in scoring. Yeah. Was an MVP. Was all of NBA first team five times while on the team. He played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years for the Rockets.
Yep.
Got them to, I forget if it was two or three conference finals off the top of my head, but averaged 30 points per game for the team while averaging 9 assists a game. Like, he was literally the second best player they've ever had after Hakeem Olajuwon, who won him a championship and was like a top five big man ever. Like, he was getting his jersey retired in a second. And the other argument to that is, like, you can't even do the other teams thing, because right now all you want to do is make, especially after you have an ugly breakup with the second best player to ever play for your team, you want to make sure other star players still want to play for your team. So you can argue you don't think they should have done that, or like they should have waited a while. What they want to do is make sure they're not in the garbage of the Western Conference forever, and that players respect their team. They want to be like, thank you, James. You were the best, second best player that's ever played
for brother.
Our team. We're going to retire your jersey.
Hey, brother.
Letting someone else wear your jersey and then getting into a whole conundrum where they can't retire and get shit down the line.
Are they retiring dudes' jerseys that don't win and get to the finals like James Harden did in situations in which he went 6-25 and minus 32 during those big time games? That doesn't matter. Having four head coaches fired, having elite players not able to win a champion, that doesn't matter, bro. Like, are they retiring jerseys that in which they don't get to the finals or win a championship for that team?
Yes, Carmelo Anthony will get his jersey retired by the Knicks. Dwight Howard will get his jersey retired by the Magic. Steve Nash is going to have his jersey retired by the Suns. Jason Kidd is going to have his jersey retired by the Nets. You wanted Tracy McGrady to have his jersey retired. He never left the first round. What? Vince Carter is going to get his jersey retired. Like, yes, this is a thing. When you are a star player that committed your franchise, committed a large part of your career, especially your prime years, and were the number one option, making that team have success, even if it's not winning a championship, you're getting your jersey retired. Like, imagine Dirk not getting his jersey retired if he didn't win in 2011 and being like, ah, sorry, bud, you were never able to get us there. Like,
That's not the same when you're there for fucking two decades. And how long is Melo on the Knicks? Like, do you really think
Melo was on the Knicks way less than James Harden was? He came over in 2010, left in 2015, 16, so like 6 years.
How many years?
I think Melo should be retired by the Nuggets. The problem's exactly this. They had a messy breakup, didn't retire it right away, which makes sense. He didn't have the career in the Nuggets James Harden had on the Rockets. But now Jokic is wearing 15, and now Melo's will never get retired.
I don't even want to get into this now, because you're basically making my argument for your own guy. But if it's my guy that I'm fucking going against, you're like,
no,
that's my whole thing.
There's an argument for Melo's not to be at all. James Harden, like, there's no argument for his jersey not to be retired by the Rockets. There's zero argument.
All right. Let's get into this. Let's see if there's any argument in this. They had the All-Star Draft, which I think is pretty dope. KD was still allowed to do it. LeBron doing it. Couple key takeaways for me on this were, clearly KD was picking his boys. LeBron has a way better starting five.
Yep.
LeBron has a way better team all around. -3.5 in that game. Team LeBron I'm taking all day. The last two players picked were both Jazz, which... that's a hard slight. And also, Duke was over my house during the draft. And I'm like yelling. My brother's here. I'm like, yep, Rudy Gobert is going to be last. Rudy Gobert is going to be last. Rudy Gobert is going to be last. And what I think is even hilarious is at one point, LeBron goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to need some size. Rudy Gobert's there. And he takes, I'm going to go with Domantas Sabonis. I'm like, I literally started laughing because my brother in the other room goes, oh, there you go. Gobert's gone. He goes, I need some size. Let me just get Sabonis. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell both slighted. And then LeBron, after the fact, saying we didn't pick him because, and there's no slander, because we don't use the Jazz in video games. Bro, I'm not buying that. I'm not fucking buying that. Maybe we didn't. People are like, oh, he's right. Maybe we didn't use the Jazz in video games back in fucking, whatever, 1990, because you had MJ and Larry Bird and all other guys to choose, even though they had Stockton and Malone. But right now, if you're playing NBA, you're telling me you don't want to use the Jazz at all? Like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'll use the Jazz in NBA. That's crazy. I don't want to hear that. That to me, I'm not buying that.
I'm surprised Donovan Mitchell was one of the last one. I'm not surprised Rudy Gobert. I guess when you look into the sense of, like, yeah, I would have guessed it would have been Vucevic, Sabonis, and Gobert, because those are just by far the least exciting people to have on your team that got voted to the All-Stars in a game like this. They're just guys that don't throw down crazy dunks, don't stretch out to the three-point line, really play some pretty good defense, not part of the All-Star game. So, yeah, a little disrespectful not picking Donovan Mitchell earlier. That's wild. But Rudy Gobert won, not surprising. I'm surprised they were so publicly slandering him on there, but I guess it is what it is. People don't like those Jazz guys.
I mean, bro, like, let's just be real on that for a second, though. Like, you think this helps the Jazz? Going into the second half of the season, which, by the way, couple interesting key nuggets on that for you, Rich. Most games remaining in the East, Bulls and Wizards, 38. In the West, Spurs and Grizzlies with 40. Fewest games remaining in the East, Nets and Knicks with 35. West Clippers with 34. Kind of coincides with my hopefully Wizards can get back into the playoff hunt. Hopefully Spurs fall out of the playoffs. Hopefully Nets don't get back into the one seed. And hopefully the Clippers can maintain where they're kind of at. Knicks also fewest in the East. Good for them potentially staying strong and making a playoff appearance. Any thought on those interesting nuggets that I saw with the second half of the NBA schedule release? Projected to start back up. What is it? Wednesday we're about to have games again? And by the way, last night was tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't love not having games on. Yeah, I think Wednesday's two games, and then like Thursday, most of the teams are actually back. I think it's interesting. I mean, kind of going along what you said with the Spurs, I think one interesting thing is, like, I don't think they expected to be this good this year. LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, a lot of their teams are all free agents this summer. I think most people expected them not to bring any of them back. I don't think they'll bring Aldridge back. He's barely even doing much for them. But I think they might bring DeRozan back. I don't know if he wants to go back there, but he's been playing really well for them. They've looked pretty good this year. I like DeJounte Murray a lot. If they could I don't know, they're not about to be a contender, but if they could get another like solid piece or two, they could be like a really good team in the West. They're beating some good teams this year with not a very talented roster that people thought it would be at the bottom of the Western Conference. So I think it's interesting to see what they do the second half of the season, because if they're in the playoffs, I bet they re-sign DeRozan, go for it. If they miss the play-in and everything, I wouldn't be surprised to see DeRozan gone, pop, retire, and the team looking really different next year.
Saw DeRozan was pretty mad he didn't get the All-Star selection. Devin Booker's not in the All-Star game now? What happened with that?
I guess he's going to be hurt. I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm glad Mike Conley got it. I think if we're being honest, I think DeRozan deserved it over him. But Mike Conley's been slated so many times. I saw. Do you ever watch J.J. Redick's podcast or listen to it?
I've heard of it, but no, I don't catch it.
It's really good. Old Man and the Three.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of good people on. He had like Mike Conley on the other day. He's got some good ones like Chris Paul, Melo, Lillard, Zion the other day. But he had Mike Conley on the other day, and Mike Conley was talking about like just different times he's been slated and like how many years like he thought he was going to make it. Like he was saying in like 2015, like four people had to miss the All-Star game, and he was like so excited and was like, yo, this is my year. And that was the year they put like the spot in for like Dirk to get the last spot in his last year. And he's like, yo, I love Dirk. He's like, but he's like, that shit sucked, man. Like Mike Conley was literally going to be the answer to the trivia question of like, who's the best player to never win an All-Star game in their career. So it's like nice to see him get in, even though, yeah, DeRozan probably deserved it.
Yeah. All right. Just a couple quick nuggets here from the last games I was telling you about, which was wild. Do you know Thursday night there was four triple doubles? Harden had his in the return to Houston. TJ McConnell with a smooth 9 steals in the first half, 10 steals, 16, 13, and 10. Wild stat line for a triple-double. He became the first player. He was the most by 9 steals or the most by any player in a half since the stat became official in 73-74. Absolutely incredible game by him, and he also did it on 8-8 field goals. Here's the stat I had for you, which was 20 point per game scores in 2010, 2011. There's 20 in the NBA. 20 point per game scores this season. There's 43. That's a pretty big difference.
I did see that.
Joel Embiid hits 40 points in 19 versus the Jazz. We covered. Wednesday was his fifth game this season with at least 40 points and 10 rebounds. The rest of the NBA has a combined to do that just 4 times. Tough couple games for PG. 1-9 in the fourth quarter versus the Bucks. 2-10 in the fourth quarter versus Celtics. Minus Kawhi, the one with the Bucks. Leonard was there, and he went 0-9 in the fourth quarter. Saw a funny thing where it was Coach Lou says we should play these games like the playoffs. PJ says, say no more, Coach. He's out there fucking humming bricks. That's tough to see. I love PG. Let's see. There's a couple other. Yeah. Oh, so those two other triple doubles that happened that night. I didn't finish off the stat because I got too caught up on 10 steals, which was just wild. McConnell is a G. Mason Plumlee and Dennis Smith Jr. Same team, both had triple doubles. Dennis Smith Jr., your guy, Rich, coming through with a triple double the other night. Love to see it, right?
Yeah. I honestly like hope it works out for him. Like he was terrible, and I thought he should have gotten traded from the Knicks. I'm glad he did. So I hope it works out. It's not a guy I have any resentment for. It's not like I suck. It sucks to see him going off. I'd rather have the guys we have right now. But I don't want to shit on him, but it's tough to know if it's like a Mike or Clark or Williams thing. Like, the dude couldn't even crack the rotation on the Knicks and literally looked terrible when he was out there. And that might be part of the Knicks' fault, part of Fizdale's fault last year, coach's fault the last few years, because clearly Carlisle had him looking okay with the Mavs. But the Pistons have no one. They lost DeLon Wright and one other point guard. Their rookie, DeLon Wright and Killian Hayes, who would both be ahead of them in the depth chart. They're one of the worst teams in the whole league that had Jeremy Grant. They had Jeremy Grant out that game. Both of their point guards that were listed ahead of him and someone else that I'm forgetting too, because I was playing on DraftKings and they had a bunch of guys out. But props to him. Great to see him playing well. They played the Knicks twice. He had two good games against the Knicks. Great to see him playing well, but I don't know if that necessarily means like he's back or he's going to have like a starting job in the NBA going forward, but I hope he at least has a job in the NBA. Seems like he deserves it. Last thing I want to say before I throw it back to you, going back to the T-Mac thing, I do not want that to come across as disrespecting T-Mac. I love Tracy McGrady. I just think it's ridiculous because people love to prop him up and shit on guys like Melo, Chris Paul, Harden for not carrying their teams far enough, and people just love T-Mac because of some of the highlights and like the 11 points in 7 seconds. And it's just like he was great, but like he had literally the least amount of playoff success we've ever seen a superstar have in the NBA. So to say like James Harden's jersey shouldn't be retired and his is, to me, is like I heard Van Gundy didn't say exactly that. Van Gundy is like, oh, like James Harden's retired so quick, not that he doesn't deserve it, but no, T-Mac, it's like, dude, James Harden gave the Rockets more success in one season than T-Mac gave them in his entire career there. I'm sorry, but that's just absolutely true.
All right, let's just get off that. Ja Morant, the other night, he had 35-5, 10 assists, 11-8 field goals, or 11-18 field goals, I'm sorry. But more interesting here, Rich, is I saw this stat. You got Emmanuel Quickley climbing up the rookie MVP ladder at the All-Star break, slated in 3, just behind Halliburton and obviously our boy LaMelo. Most games with 25 plus points among rookies and sophomores this season. You got Zion with 19. You got Emmanuel Quickley with 5. Ja Morant with 5. RJ Barrett with 4. Tyler Hero with 4. Quickley rising up the ranks. And just real quick, I need to get this in because I saw this week, and it was basically Brian Windhorst's report. Quote, I say within the next 12 months, a star or superstar player demands a trade to New York. I heard Jay Williams talking about Luka Doncic demanding a trade to New York.
Literally, that is the dumbest shit in the entire world. This is why the Knicks get shit on all the time. The Knicks are doing absolutely nothing, and then people make up these reports that they're going to get a superstar. The Knicks can't even control that. Like, oh, a superstar is going to demand a trade to New York. Like, yeah, who? Luka is not demanding a trade. I'm sorry. Bradley Beal has said he wants to stay. It's not happening. And what's going to happen is we're going to be a year out from now, and the Knicks are going to get clowned for not getting a superstar. It's like, oh, they didn't do it. They couldn't pull through. And it's like the media is just throwing these reports out there. Like, I think it would be dumb, obviously, if Luka Doncic is available, which he never would be, you trade for him. I think it would be dumb for the Knicks to trade for Bradley Beal right now unless they got a discount. But, like, I don't think that they will, because a lot of teams would be in the bidding if he was available. I think unless the Knicks are trading for a top-tier superstar, which never come available via trade. James Harden is the biggest superstar to like ever be traded. There's not a James Harden that's going to get traded right now. Like that's just not happening. I just think it's ridiculous that they're like pulling, like, oh, I'm hearing that a star's go. How can you hear that a star's going to request a trade in 12 months if they haven't requested a trade? That's just literally pulling things out of your ass and saying, like, I bet what he heard is like players think the Knicks look good and are impressed with how they're being run, which is probably true, but that doesn't mean someone's going to be like, trade me to the Knicks right now. Like, that, I just feel like that's an absolute BS report, but it's going to make people clown the Knicks when it doesn't happen.
Agree. That's what I basically saw on it. But interesting, because the Knicks are, I think, looking in a better spot to bring and attract one of these guys going forward, in obviously via free agency. Okay, Rich, couple more quick things on the way out here, which is I need your picks for the All-Star contest and the All-Star game. You want mine or you want to give me yours?
Go ahead. Let me pick up. I don't have the full list of the 3-point and skills in front of me. I know the dunk ones, but I'll pull them up while you're
dunk
going.
Is only three. Has that ever been a thing? Has that ever been a thing? That's going to be weird.
No.
But I know it's at halftime, obviously jammed into one night. Quick, I think it'll be sweet. I think it'll be sweet. Not an all-star weekend, an all-star day. We'll see how it goes. I'm tuning in, obviously, tomorrow, Sunday, March 7th. Looking forward to it and being able to hopefully talk about it. I got Monday and Tuesday off, so hopefully we can link up one of those days for at least a little bit. Anyways, I got Obi winning the dunk contest. You already know that. I got Julius Randle winning the skills challenge.
Wow.
And I thought Devin Booker was competing in the 3-point, but he's not.
He's out now.
Because he's not in
Mike
the All-Star game. Saw that, which he's also taking a spot in the game. Shout out Mike Conley, first All-Star appearance. I think a little bit of a snub for DeMar DeRozan. He's a little pissed about it.
Yep.
So I'm going Zach LaVine. I'm going Zach LaVine, 3-point challenge. Julius Randle skills. Obi in the dunk. Too bad there's not a Nick in the three. If Emmanuel Quickly was in three, I'd take the Knicks in a clean sweep. And I got LeBron, Team LeBron, in the game, no doubt. Better roster, more healthy. Should be a good game, though, with the Kobe format still in place. Looking forward to catching it for sure after not having NBA for a couple days. Rich, you got any winners? MVP of the game? I saw an interesting thing on that. We don't really see too often a big man get it. I am hoping a big man gets it. Not so sure that's going to happen, though, because my guy LBJ is going to come out. And I've been talking about him, you know, probably shouldn't even play in it. Just seeing kind of how everything went with him drafting the team and Durant not being in the game and everything kind of going on.
I'm sure he'll be taking it easy. He didn't even really want to be there, so I'm sure he'll be playing like half the game. He probably won't even play much in the first half, and he'll play that whole like fourth quarter where they all like hustle their ass off. That would be my guess, at least.
Don't doubt my man LeBron, bro.
All right. I got Anthony Simons. I would love to see Obi Toppin win, first off. I just think Anthony Simons is going to win the dunk contest. We already went over it in one of the last ones. He's got that, like, he's not as short as Nate Robinson, but it looks like a Nate Robinson height when he's dunking, so it just makes the dunks look really cool. 3-point, I mean, looking at these names, the obvious cop-out answer is Steph Curry because he's just far and away the best shooter, but that's no fun, so I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say Mike Conley, first All-Star game, feeling good. I'm saying Mike Conley wins the 3-point contest. I'd say he's probably, I don't have the numbers up, but probably the best shooter out of those guys after Steph, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Zach LaVine, Donovan Mitchell. Probably the best percentage shooter. I don't know, though, off the top of my head. Skills challenge. I like picking a big. I feel like bigs win this a lot. I know Porzingis won. I think Julius Randle is a great pick, and that's kind of who I was leaning towards, but that's no fun if I pick him. Robert Covington, no way I'm picking Robert Covington. I'll go it's probably the cop-out pick, but I'll go Chris Paul. It says Luka's favorited, then Chris Paul, then Sabonis, then Randle. I'll go Chris Paul for that. So I got Chris Paul, Mike Conley, Anthony Simons. I'll go Team LeBron winning as well. I'll go Giannis getting the MVP. He was hustling his ass off in the game that last year. This year, him and LeBron are actually on the same team. He's just a guy that runs into stats so easily, so I feel like he's one of the easiest to get the MVP.
All right, here's a couple other good ones for you. I just need to know a couple real quick things, too, before you go, which is, what's that thing that you know the name of it, I don't know the name of it, but I know the concept of it now, which is the virtual fucking trading, what is it, Hop Shot?
NBA Top Shot, yeah, I've been doing a bunch of it.
Okay, what is that, bro? What, you're doing a bunch of it? What is that? Okay, we need to get into this for a second before you go. What is this, and what are you doing?
let me see if I can.
You put money into this?
Yeah. I'll watch this.
For virtual fucking.
Wait till I explain it.
Oh my god, brother. That's actually crazy.
You see my screen right now?
No.
Or no? I tried to share it. It wasn't working. Damn. Okay. Whatever. So it's basically. Yeah, it's virtual trading cards, and every concept of it, I'll explain it to you this way. No part of you is going to be like, oh, that's sick. I want to go buy some cards. Like, those are awesome. It's strictly a form of making money. Like, it's a pretty easy way to make money so far. So, it's virtual trading cards, and the trading cards are like GIFs, actual highlights instead of trading cards. Now the counter argument to it is like, and I totally get it, like, dude, you can literally look up the highlights on YouTube. Like, yes, of course. I'm not like, I am not going in there and being like, oh, I love Carmelo Anthony. Let me pay $100 for this like highlight of a Carmelo Anthony. Like, no, that would be really stupid. And I would agree with that. And I feel like that's how most people look at it. So they apply the same concept to it as they apply it to like trading, like real life trading cards, which I personally didn't know much about prior to this. So I'm like learning about, but like there's limited edition versions. There's copies where it's like, oh, this is copy one of only 1,000 copies of this card. There's people's rookie cards. There's their first card ever. So cards are worth more depending on how many of that card exists. If it's their first card, if it's their rookie card, like how cool the moment is. And you could open packs of cards. Like I've paid, so far I paid $99 for one pack of cards. That was 6 cards. And I'll explain in a second. And I paid, this was last night, I think it was $14 for another pack of cards. That was 3 cards. I got like some whatever BS cards, but I got one like DeJounte Murray card. That's 1 out of 500, like limited edition rookie year card. Right now, if I sell it, there's only 500 that I'm in existence. They're never making more. And right now there's like 25 for sale. And if I sell it, the minimum price right now for one of those is $1,100. If I listed that right now at $1,000, if I want, I could probably sell it for $1,100. But if I listed that right now at $1,000, it would sell like that. It would be the lowest price one out there. I would be right now, the total value of my like 9 cards I have in the account is $2,100. If I wanted to sell all of them, I've put it $115 in to get these cards. So you're essentially betting on the value of these cards growing over time. You're trying to get, you have to buy pack. There's, you can't just buy a pack at any time. So like they do pack drops. Like if you signed up right now, you couldn't just go buy a pack of cards or like limited release pack drops. You have to like sign up for the pack drop, and like only like 30% of people get a pack. So it's, there's limited supply of cards. It's, they're basically using supply and demand. There's a limited
what
supply
is,
of cards.
What, like this is a website?
Yeah, I'm trying to share my screen with you right now. It's pretty cool. I would recommend, the only way you could lose what are you money.
What is it called?
NBA Top Shot.
You just type in www.nbatopshot.
I would just type in NBA Top Shot. That might be not be their exact URL, but it'll be the first thing that comes up on Google.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been seeing more and more of this, and I'm like, bro, what is this?
Dude, I would highly recommend signing up. It can be a bitch. The only way you will lose money, and it can be a bad idea, is if you go to the marketplace and buy individual cards. Because like I was saying, once you open a pack, you can list those cards in the marketplace. And if you're buying them, you're really just betting on their value going up over time. But they're expensive. Like, there's, dude, someone brought a $250,000 Ja Morant card. $250,000 for the virtual cards. Like, they're like, so you're opening these packs trying to get the sick moments. They're different kinds of packs. Like I said, I spent $99 for a pack that had one rare card. That was the DeJounte Murray. They have like some cheaper packs that are $9.
That's pretty
sick. You're getting good cards, but like,
that's pretty sick.
It's pretty sick. I'll
I'll talk to you about it for sure. I'll check it out. I just want to know also, do you know anything about HBCUs and what that exactly is that the All-Star game is going to be like doing something on, and like Deion Johnson or, yeah, Deion Sanders is like a coach there. Hold on, I'll be right back.
HBCUs are historically black colleges. I don't know much about them, honestly. I know like Stephen A went to one. I know I really don't know much about them. I couldn't tell you if they are black only. It sounds like that wouldn't be allowed, but I don't know if they're, it stands for historically black colleges. I don't totally know how they work or much about them though. Wish I knew more. I think the issue is a lot of, they're trying to get more athletes and more, obviously, I don't know, like black individuals to attend HBCUs because they haven't been as popular over the last few years. So a lot of athletes and like celebrities that have gone to them are trying to endorse them and, I don't know, make sure people are still attending them, still aware of them. And I think there have been a few, I don't know the names, but I remember Stephen A. Smith talking about it. There have been like one or two bigger name basketball recruits that have gone to, that have committed to go to them. But yeah, I honestly don't know much, but it stands for historically black colleges, I believe.
Yeah, I was doing a little research on it because I was trying to figure out what the hell Deion Sanders was doing coaching, but he was coaching in the spring for an HBCU. So I did my research and figured up on it. Anyways, they're going to celebrate, obviously, that at the All-Star Game, 1,200 fans, where most of them are going to be members of HBCUs and vaccinated workers. 70-year tradition of the All-Star Game is going to take place even though that's been up for debate, the only professional sporting league to have an all-star game in their season will be the NBA. Rich, before you go, do you believe in UFOs, Baker Mayfield? I saw this thing with Baker Mayfield, and I saw Tom Brady coming in the smoke, giving some clout to Colin Cowherd, which he loved, by the way, basically saying, how do you know I haven't seen any UFOs, Colin, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, I'll give Tom Brady some credit where, like, he is kind of funny sometimes. But Baker Mayfield, I don't know how I feel about this. Almost 100%. Oh, yeah, you are able to share your screen.
Yeah, fine. You can keep going. I'll talk to you about it in a second after.
Almost 100%. I just saw a UFO drop out of the sky on our way from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down at the sky towards Lake Travis. Anyone else witness this? Rich, I just need to know. Are you a believer in aliens and UFOs?
I saw something wild, like, way back in the day. I can't remember. It was when I was dating Shannon. So, like, back in, like, high school or early college. I can't remember if she was in the car or if I had just dropped her off. But, like, driving on the highway, I saw something wild. So, I don't know. If I'm doing my overthinking it thing, it's kind of like, nah, probably not. Probably just seeing something wrong. But, like, who knows? I think it's a little ignorant to believe we're the only things that can possibly exist in the entire universe. So, yeah, I guess to some extent, yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right, Rich. What is this on the screen here? Just tell me before you go then.
All right. So, well, this is like the marketplace for cards I was like thinking of buying, but I'll like show you my
You're about to spend $305 bucks on a card?
So, the reason you would is those specific cards right there are all rookie cards, like a player's first card on the site. And in the next week or so, they're going to be putting rookie badges on players' first ever cards. So all those cards are going to go up in value. But yeah, I don't really want to spend that much on one of those cards. So these are the moments I have right here. I have 10 moments right now. You can go in, you could whatever, click on the highlights. Like this is my one that's worth the most, DeJounte Murray one.
Yeah, but what is the deal on this? Like, where do you go? Like, you just make an account?
Yep, you make an account. You go in. They have this packs section. And that's where you could go in and buy your packs. They do limited drops, so you can't just, like, buy a pack at any time. Otherwise, there would just be, like, unlimited cards out there. They have to kind of control the marketplace so all cards have value.
I just tried to sign up, and it says...
Oh, yeah, it's... Well, you can't... They have a pack drop coming up in an hour. I would... Try signing up later tonight.
It says we're undergoing maintenance. Signups are disabled due to high demand.
This site like blew up a month ago. It was like a tiny little site. They keep putting out these announcements like, hey guys, like appreciate all the support. Like again, we expected this site to get big, but not this quick. Like they basically like multiplied by thousands in size over the every week. So their site like crashes when they do these drops because they have like 200,000 people coming on the site trying to get a pack of cards when there's only like 60,000 pack of cards they're putting out. So yeah, try signing up later tonight. They have a pack drop coming up in an hour.
This sounds just like so stupid, but I heard Brian Warner saying like this is gonna be like the thing.
Look at this. So you can go here and do it's called evaluate.market. You could go in and put in I could do this for literally anyone.
You have is a DeJounte Murray fucking scoop layup.
That's one of the best ones I open, and it's like you could go right now and you could see the what it's sold for right here. So I'll go to the bottom, and it's going to show me the top sales for this card. So this card is sold. Oh, my bad. Nope, view listings. My bad. So you could go to view listings here, and it's going to show me all the different listings for this card. And it's going to show me what they've sold for at the bottom. So recent sales, someone sold this card for $3,000, $2,400, $2,200. Those are – so the serial – a thing that matters with real cards is the serial numbers matter too. Like single-digit numbers of the card, like number 8 out of 499 is a lot. The last number of the card, 499 out of 499 is worth a lot. And then other numbers are worth less. So it's a little confusing. I could explain it more if you're actually going to get into it, but it is pretty sick.
Wow. Yeah, no, it looks...
Can you see the screen I'm on with the graph right now, or are you still on the other one?
Yeah, no, I can see your screen. The problem is it won't let me sign up because it's due to high demand right now.
Yeah, try... Hold on. Try this one more time. Try later tonight, and it should be good. They're just doing a pack drop soon, so it's like just nuts. So you can come. Nice. You're on the page of the graph now. So I can come here, and this is a site that looks up your value of your account. So like how much money you've put in and what your account's actually worth if you sell all your cards. I can put in my account here. So my account value, if I sold everything, is $1,900 right now with like $1,700 profit because I've put in $200 total to like buy a card and buy packs. So it's pretty sick. It's pretty, I don't know, apparently that's in the top 13%. There's people with like crazy amount, like literally millions of dollars of cards in here already because the value is so high. But it gives me like the lowest ask for each of my cards. The lowest ask for DeJounte Murray's, almost $1,000. The lowest ask for the Steph Curry's, $530. Lowest ask for this Durant's, $244. I mean, I have some trash ones, like a Thad Young that's worth $7 that I opened. But it's pretty sick, dude. I understand why people think it's stupid because it's like, if you're looking at it in the sense of like what we look at trading cards for, of like, oh, sick, I bought this little pack of cards and I have a card, like it was a few bucks, like sick. To be like, oh, you want to buy online highlights is stupid. I'm totally with that. I'm solely doing it for the fact of like, if you get some good cards, you can sell them for a lot of money and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet, but
it is fun.
It is kind of lame like, where it's kind of like the PS5, right? Like I'm gonna go try and do it, and your shit's crashing. I can't even fucking do it. Like, all right, it's sick. Like
the good thing not about a good this fucking... is when they do the pack drops, it's not that bots beat you. So they'll be like, hey, today at 2 o'clock, we're doing a pack drop. You can get in the queue at like 1:40, and when it hits 2 o'clock. It just randomizes everyone in the queue. So everyone has a completely equal shot of getting a pack. Like there might only be enough packs for like 25% of the people there to get one, but it's not that like the bots who got there first are going to beat you and you have to be there like at this exact time on the dot. It's basically like, hey, get in here 20 minutes before the drop. At the time of the drop, we're just going to shuffle it up and randomly 25% of you are going to get a pack. So it's an even shot for everyone to get a pack. You'll get fucked some days. You'll get a pack other days. It's pretty cool.
All right. I mean, yeah, I would
recommend signing up. You don't have to put any money in. And when you go, I'll let you know when there's a pack drop. And you don't have to put money in unless you actually get the pack. Like, you'll know if you can get the pack by the time you put money in. So you don't have to, like, put money in and not get anything. And if you get a pack, you'll never not get the value of that pack back. Like, the worst card I got was a Thad Young worth $7. And that was in a $14 pack, and there were other cards in there, so... You're never going to lose money if you're getting a pack. The only way you're losing money is if you're like, oh, I want to buy this individual Russ card or something, and you're overpaying for it.
Yeah, I'll probably do that anyways. What time is the drop today? Noon?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to sign up before then. That's why the site's down. There's a drop at noon today. They like slowly announce drops. So like we don't know when the next one is, but I'll let you know when the next one is after that. Try signing up tonight.
All right. All right, sounds good, brother. Good catching up. Hopefully we'll catch up soon and enjoy your weekend and your All-Star game there.
For sure, man. Always good talking. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Richie. Take my quick break. Got a few solos wanted to get through. Guess I'll try that. Be right back in the Seggy Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Seggy Station is brought to you by Cali's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to Rescue Month to many, but a life civic companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in a household. Better love and companion of a pet, especially at a time like this. Get yourself a little pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, or nursery. Save their life and then just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. A week in review in this regard, Tom Brady rookie card sells for a record $1.32 million. Passing the highest paid for a football card, previous record nearly $500,000. LeBron James rookie card selling for $1.8 million. The most since 1980. Only 23 versions of that card are produced. LBJ said he's got a couple of his own. Interesting conversation. Cards or NBA Top Shot? Me and Rich just having it on the back end. Much love for Rich coming through. A report that the Bears have gone all in, prioritized for trading for Russell Wilson. Interesting to see what happens with Russell Wilson this offseason. Kyle Lowry sold his house in Toronto for $5.12 million. We'll see if he remains with the Raptors before the trade deadline. Reportedly, Stephen A. and Skip were trying to get back together with ESPN, but Skip returns to Fox, a four-year, $32 million deal. Hopefully, Shannon gets his bread as well. Shout out Paige Beckers and UConn, who will be playing here, both men and women, at noon, Fox, FS1, and CBS. Paige Beckers, Big East Player of the Year, Big East Freshman of the Year. UConn women, I think, take home a natty title on the back of Paige Beckers, freshman. And you'll have UConn taking on Georgetown today, 12 o'clock on CBS. Duke and UNC tonight at Chapel Hill, 6 o'clock on ESPN. 21% chance to make the tournament if Duke wins, 15% chance if they don't. 24 straight seasons, third all-time in terms of making the tournament. UNC with a 93% chance to make the tournament. Selection Sunday, just a week from tomorrow. Yankees manager Aaron Boone taking immediate medical leave of absence to receive a pacemaker. Astros have 8 pitchers in the virus protocol. California to allow fans starting April 1. Broncos tag Justin Simmons, the first tag in the NFL, just 3 days until the deadline. Second straight season of the tag for Justin Simmons, exclusive tag for the Broncos. Safety, Liberty, first auto bid for the NCAA tournament. Not a good look here for Les Miles, who was put on leave by Kansas, who was 0-9 last year, coming up from reports released alleged harassment with women attending LSU leading back to 2013. NBA, as I mentioned, weekend will benefit HBCUs, $3.4 million in total, and the game will be reffed by former HBCU alums. March 10th through the 13th, Big East Tournament, as tournament week will be taking place, as I mentioned, Selection Sunday coming up March 14th. Alabama football team expects a full stadium this fall. Pac-12 releases a 9-game conference-only schedule. Bills proposed head coaching delay search that could be voted on this offseason. GM of the Raiders, Mike Mayock, said Derek Carr is one of the best QBs in the NFL and had one of his best seasons under John Gruden. Sheriff's executive warrant issued for the black box for crash data of Tiger's SUV. A lot of reports coming about Tiger's car crash in which he was unconscious. A lot of people digging in and trying to get some rumors up on my man Tiger. Not what I like to see there. Had a few more reads, but I'll save them for hopefully the next pod. Tuning back in, Nick Seguin here. You're listening to the Segi Station Podcast. Appreciate all love and support shown for the podcast as always. And I got a few solo topics to get into before I get out of here today. Much love for Rich coming through. Had a good NBA discussion, and I'll save that for another time. But I do need to touch on Damian Lillard quickly here, where I saw a story on Damian Lillard in which, similar to Karl Anthony Towns, similar to a lot of people across this country this year, have dealt with a lot of heartache. And the quote from Damian Lillard is, "They think because I make money and people know who I am and that I play in the NBA, that's it. But it's been a hard year and a half," says Damian Lillard, in which the reports say in the past 18 months, he first discovered the dead body of his cousin and a personal chef. An aunt died from cancer. A family friend died of COVID-19 in the early months of 2021. A cousin was killed in West Oakland. And this last Thursday, the day before a Lakers game, Lillard learned the shooting of deaths of two people in his inner circle. Damian Lillard out here in the MVP conversations, dropping 44 points in the crunch time this season, 92 points second, 61.4, Field goal percentage, first minimum 20 attempts, 60.3 from three, first minimum 15 attempts, 100% from the free throw line, which is obviously first, and 72.2 win percentage, which is third. What time is it? Dame time. Here's the thing. Don't forget the fact that these people are human beings. Don't forget the fact that what this man is doing with all this heartache has to be mentioned as well, because it's hard when you're dealing with tragedies like this at a high clip to be able to continue on and carry yourself with the type of class that you see Damian Lillard. Such a big fan of Damian Lillard. I'm trying to get a jersey, hoping to get that sooner rather than later. Shout out to Damian Lillard for what he's gone through. Prayers up to not only you, but the rest of your family. And hopefully going forward, people will give you the respect you deserve. After hearing a story like this, I believe that that'll be hard not to do. What he's doing on the backs of losing a couple of his best players, being in the Western Conference, being in the MVP discussion, and have his team in the playoff hunt at the All-Star break with a story like this coming out at the All-Star break is absolutely incredible. Shout out Damian Lillard. Next, need to get into this, which I saw that this is a tough one. Greg McDermott, Creighton, got suspended. Didn't get suspended immediately. Was able to coach a game after the fact in which he had comments that were obviously racially insensitive and extremely controversial in today's time. But I don't think even in today's time matters. I think this is an anytime thing where you shouldn't be saying something like this. You shouldn't be saying, guys, we need to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation. You should not be saying something like that as a head coach. And furthermore, in this day and age, I try and put myself in other people's shoes in many situations. I'd also say, don't let nobody who hasn't been in your shoes tell you how to tie your laces. But this right here is uncalled for. Like, my coach has definitely done things that if I went and told other people outside of the locker room, then yeah, he might have gotten in trouble for, but I don't think he would have gotten fired because he was doing something that was racial. This right here is a fireable offense on the spot. This right here, the fact that he wasn't suspended on the spot and coach Greg McDermott is shameful, and it shows that you do value winning, in which a situation like Les Miles comes up as well. Just mentioned in the read, but he was 0-9 with Kansas. Now he's on a leave of absence. I guess that's a nice way of saying you're fired, but is he going to be coming back to the team? Is Greg McDermott going to be coming back to the team? I don't know how that's going to happen. Like, to me, that's tough to recover from when you lose to Nova down 19 at the half the following game, in which you say you talked about wanting to resign and mentioning resigning, but your players wanted you to play or to coach, but then you lose that game. You lose your best player, by the way. So just a quick thing with college hoops in the bracket coming out, because I do believe Creighton will potentially still make the tournament. Maybe not, but if they do, they're not winning a game. Whoever they're matched up against, if it's upset, if it's not upset, they're not going to win that game. Creighton, not good look. Suspension for McDermott, suspension for Les Miles. Two really bad stories in the college rankings coming out just this past week, with obviously multiple black eyes in the college rankings with stories like this. Not only in that regard, but for payment of players and situations. I saw Arizona is now in the limelight, Sean Miller in the limelight for paying players legally and all the illegal stuff, not providing an actual work. I don't know, whatever. It's the same thing that goes on at every other school, but if you're getting brought up in the conversation, it's brought up pretty heavily, and then we tend not to hear about it. Like, I think about this whole thing that happened with Kansas and Bill Self, but I believe Kansas and Bill Self is still able to make the tournament. I still think they're able to do so because last season there was no March Madness, and I believe their postseason ban was last season, or did they even get one? Are they still under investigation? these investigations take so long and we tend to forget about them. And then something comes out potentially 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line in which that coach could be on another team, similar to Les Miles in his situation now being on Kansas. But in regards to the illegal things that happen in getting players, it happens everywhere. All schools, some do it obviously better than others because they have more money and they have better people at the forefront. But why not just get rid of that in all regards in which you're trying to add endorsements and get players some type of payment? But when you got guys out here and coaches signing million-dollar contracts, Les Miles, highest paid dude in the state of Louisiana, out here attacking college girls and kissing them, like, bro, the players should be paid. And breaking down the NCAA and college sports should be a thing that is in the forefront along with these racially insensitive comments and social justice and equality. Like, I don't understand the disconnect here with how much money sports and college sports in particular generates and how these players get none of it and have to go out there not only during the midst of a pandemic, but during the midst of stories that come out like this, and they're out here doing it for very limited time in which you only see, I think it's 1%, 2% of these actually making the professional rankings when it comes to college athletes. It's incredible to see. The good stuff with college right now is obviously March Madness, college hoops, everything going on with college hoops, and March Selection Sunday coming up. Obviously, Zags, Michigan, Baylor, Houston, I think are all teams that are on the high-end tier one for this upcoming tournament. Bama, Alabama basketball being in a tier two conversation with Illinois, OSU, Iowa, and what Luke Garza has been doing there. West Virginia, I think, a sleeper along with UConn, and obviously just following up on UNC Duke. College hoops, who gets in, last four out, 68 teams. Once they slate it, it's good as to go. Single-sided event. I believe Indianapolis for the men, San Antonio for the women. Looking forward to just watching March Madness and college hoops again during this time. Tournament week, March Madness in general, in my opinion, for hoops fans, the best time of the year, along with NBA playoffs, along with the second half of the NBA season, which, as Rich and I mentioned, will tip off on Wednesday. Great time to be a hoops fan. Lots of good hoops on. Obviously, bad stories, as I touched on, in college hoops. Bad stories, potentially, with the All-Star game being played in the NBA. But all good stuff to be seeing with hoops on. Just as I mentioned, this time last year, coming up on a week, I believe it was March 12th, in which the shutdown of sports, NBA, Rudy Gobert anniversary. Just having this stuff on and for a sports fan to be able to check in on it, like myself, is all the things I could ask for at a time like this, even with people still being affected by the virus, the pandemic, and approximately only 20% of the population being vaccinated at this point. Not good enough. We'll see where we are in hopefully a few months as you got more and more people slated to get the vaccine. And at this point, it's just a waiting game as more and more things seem to be getting back to normal. Obviously, Texas saying everything's normal, but where you at in that regard, I think, is an interesting conversation, not only in the sports world, just in your general overall life. Did have a couple football stories I needed to touch on quickly. Wanted to touch on the Bears going after Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's been in the reports, obviously, of making the Seattle Seahawks unhappy and also him being unhappy himself with the lack of protection and lack of offensive schemes and Pete Carroll, and it seems to be building up there, that relationship not looking so hot. The Bears obviously need a quarterback if they're not going to bring back Mitch Trubisky, if they're not going to have Nick Foles, and they're reportedly going to be going all in trying to acquire Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has the Bears as one of his teams that he put out there he would be traded to if there were to be a trade. Bears, Saints, Cowboys. What was the last one? I'm doing that off the top of my head. But, oh, Vegas Raiders. So, everything starts swirling. Rumors start getting worse and worse. I've been on the record to say Russell Wilson will return to the Seattle Seahawks. Still going to take that take. I still think it'd be crazy to see Russell Wilson in a different jersey. I do think things have been getting a little bit more murky with this situation. Also, when you see conversations swirling around Jimmy G, when you see, obviously, the conversations swirling around Deshaun Watson, we're waiting for one of these dominoes to fall as the QB carousel since Stafford, Goff, Carson Wentz to Indy has been pretty stale, and a lot of the conversations is just rumors, turmoil, waiting for the NFL draft slated for April 29th. You got the NFL tag deadline 3 days away in the NFL, in which only one player has been tagged. Shouted out Broncos safety Justin Simmons, choose guy. But got obviously a bunch of more teams to make decisions on that front with only 3 days to do so. And then obviously the biggest one being surrounding Cowboys Dak Prescott and whether or not he'll be tagged, exclusive tag. There's different types of tags. The NFL is interesting. Salary cap potentially going down in the NFL, as I mentioned. 198.2 last season, potentially down to 180 this season, provides for some interesting offseason activities ahead of the draft, free agency signings, cuts. We saw Alex Smith release this past week officially, and a bunch of other guys as well, including this one, which touches base at home. And I haven't been covering my G-Men as much on my podcast, which is kind of a shame, so I need to do this quickly. As I saw a report this week on my Giants, in which we've been flying under the radar in a division that everyone is obviously going to say isn't great, so I do like that. Obviously, a lot of question marks surrounding, obviously, the quarterback situation in Philly, Washington, and Dallas. So, going forward, just like in seeing my guy Danny Jones working out, and I like seeing what the team is doing this offseason. Obviously, we had to bring in a new offensive line coach after the situation that happened last year. Season with Mark Colombo and Joe Judge. Rob Sale, new offensive line coach. Love to see it. If Joe Judge likes him, I like him as well. Retaining Patrick Graham. Retaining Jason Garrett. Retaining a lot of the coaching staff is providing culture, continuity. A lot of good signs for me as a fan of this team. Releasing wide receiver Golden Tate this past week, which the move creates a little more than $8 million in cap space in 2021 per Adam Schefter, is a very good sign to see as a fan because we need to get this guy, Daniel Jones, some more weapons. I've heard Curtis Samuel. I think Kenny Galladay would be good. I'm not so high on Allen Robinson, but he could potentially be a good fit as well. I think we need to get one free agent at least, one guy in the draft, hopefully in our 11 slot, or we trade up, hopefully, to get a more predominant wideout. But I think at a 11 spot, we can get one of the top three, maybe one, two, three, four guys at the wide receiver position if that's where we're going to go, which I indeed believe we do have to go that route. We're not going to know what Daniel Jones is until we get him a true number one or more than one true number one wide receiver. More weapons, Saquon Barkley coming back, better offensive line, the defense building up, young Peppers, Dalvin Thompson, Leonard Williams, hopefully able to return, creating some of the cap space and releasing guys like Golden Tate, guys that we don't really want as Giants fans. Much love for Golden Tate, but we need some different weapons here for Daniel Jones to see if he's the guy. Look at what happened when Stephon Diggs went to the Bills and Josh Allen became this different animal. Hopefully he's able to keep that going forward. But that, in my opinion, would be the trend. So can Daniel Jones get a weapon in which we can potentially see that going forward? Because I do think he has more upside than some of these other guys, young guys, are going to potentially have going forward as well that isn't talked about, because he's obviously had some very lows in terms of turnovers in the NFL, in terms of falling down, stumbling on the way to the end zone. But the man's rookie year was relatively great, specifically for New York Giants fans' standards. And this past year, I do think he showed some signs of progression that I wanted to see before getting injured. I do believe the injury halted this season for us going forward, but definitely a good story to see as a Giants fan this week, with all eyes, pointing to getting some wide receivers this offseason. Love to see that. Get out of here on... Saw Jimmy G thing, which I thought was interesting. He's missed 23 games since becoming a member of the Niners. Six last season, 3-3, 182.7 yards per game. Worst in the NFL, or third worst in the NFL, actually. The year before, 30.2 points per game. Down this season to 23.5. Definitely an ugly era, but is he getting disrespected with how much this guy's a winner? 75% winning percentage. Will Jimmy G remain with the Niners? A lot of signs pointing that that was going to be the case. Now a lot of rumors surrounding Jimmy G going forward with that as well. Talks of potentially bringing in Bridgewater, which, by the way, he was 4-11 last year with a 92.1 passer rating, which was 22nd in the NFL. So that's pretty telling on how they feel about Jimmy G. Interesting to follow the QB carousel. All-star game tomorrow and festivities. And obviously college hoops today. UConn just about the tip right now. Love to see it. Got it on. So going to have to get out of here on spinning this, which is good to be back to work for sure and have something to do. The podcast definitely takes a back burner in that regard, but still able to link up with some friends. Hopefully, at least this month, have some consistent days off and bring in a little bit of some of the topics that I want to get through in sports world, with obviously trying to cover the breaking news, obviously trying to get into covering what's happened and just seeing all the good stories, bad stories, everything you can see in sports. And I cover a lot in the sporting world today. Apologize for the podcast being a little bit longer during this time, but that's just probably how it's going to be. Hopefully you can break it up. Got some stickers. Been trying to distribute those at a little bit of a rate. Please reach out. Let me know if any of y'all that follow along want one to support the podcast. Can certainly send those out, as I've been doing. It's definitely been good. Met my new neighbors who are younger, which is pretty sweet. Got to talk to my neighbor a little bit. She's moving into her house out in Missouri. Sent her a sticker as well, so hopefully she gets that, and we'll, I'm sure, connect at some point when she does. Other than that, it's been, I don't even know how to explain it, because I've been trying to be more positive, even though it's been a lot of Damian Lillard-esque, Carl Anthony Towns-esque for me. Been some good support. Obviously talking to my dudes on the podcast and getting back to work, talking a little more sports with some workmates. Hopefully getting some warmer weather here soon. All upsides for a guy who's just looking for something better. And realistically, I guess starting right now is UConn's up 7-0. March Madness is back. NBA All-Star Game. Second half of the NBA season. NFL offseason with the draft just about a month and a half away. Sports have been where it's at for me, man. Like, even if nobody followed my pod and listened to my pod, like, I'd still probably do it just so I could listen to it at some point, which is kind of why I do it, which is for myself and what it provides me. And I don't know if I'm any good at it or not, but I enjoy doing it. I enjoy the support that I get from it. And I'm just going to continue to try and do it at the rate that I can that's good for me. And trying to link up with a couple more first-timers, trying to obviously get the same old bros and gals back on the pod, potentially Shayna at some point coming back on the pod to let me know what she's up to. It's been good. I'll enjoy the rest of my day off. Back to work tomorrow. Got a couple days off Monday, Tuesday. Got to bring Callie to the vet. Hopefully able to get a pod in. Callie won't like that. I don't like that as well. And hopefully we'll be covering some sports. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always. And as always, still have no shame what I had to say. It's the man with a nickname. Till next time, peace and love. Everybody stay safe out there. You're listening to Seggy Station.